Welcome back to our show. I'm Gary Fretz, and my co-hosts are Stephen and Estelle Cocroft, and we're talking about getting off the grid. Stephen, how tech-savvy do you need to be to go long-distance cruising?
You need to understand your boat. To go long-distance cruising, you're going to find you're going to be in places where there is no service, where there are no dealers or mechanics or sail lofts or anything to help you. I recommend you do a diesel course and understand a diesel engine. I mean, you're never going to be able to rebuild it, but if it has an airlock, you need to be able to know how to bleed it. Or if it throws a fan belt, you need to know how to change it. Or if it's raw water impeller goes, you need to know how to change it. So you need to know basic diesel engine maintenance. You need to know how to change the oil, check the sail drive oils or the gearbox oils, depending on what boat you have. You need to be savvy about the engine. You need to understand it. Basic understanding of electrical is probably an advantage. The boat is 12-volt system. It's pretty logical if you have enough time to sit and think about it. Electronics, make sure you've got all the manuals. Always make sure you have the manuals for every single thing that you put on the boat so that you've always got a reference you can go back to. If you look on catamaranguru.com, you'll see the boats that we've had and, you know, actually built some of them ourselves. So been very fortunate in completely understanding the vessels we've been on. And I can tell you it's always been a huge advantage.
I would recommend that you keep it as simple as you possibly can. We've had experience with... not only on our own boat, but we've seen other cruisers with really nice, big, shiny boats with every system imaginable, every modern system on board. And they were forever having to try and fix something somewhere. So try and keep it simple. One example I can mention is when we were sailing up the Red Sea, we encountered particularly bad seas, or weather, rather. And one of the boats that was doing the passage with us had their, the mast, in-mast furler jam, and they couldn't roll their sail out, and they couldn't roll it back in. So they shredded their sails, and there was nothing that they could do. But on the other side, Stephen and I shredded our sail, and we just took it down, and we sat down, and we sewed it back together.
That particular incident, we'd left Kenya and we were heading around the Horn of Africa past Somalia. It was in the early 90s and we were well offshore because of, even in those days, there was a little bit of piracy. And we tore our head sail and got it damaged. And once we got around the Horn of Africa, we were going up the Gulf of Aden and we got the Estelle sewing machine out, put it on the deck, and took the sail down, and she sat there and sewed our whole sail back up. And that sail lasted us all the way from the Red Sea up through the Med, across the Atlantic, and finally we replaced it when we got to St. Martin. So, you know, a lot of different skill sets with the different crew members. One crew member can't be everything. It's very good to have different skill sets and knowledge, you know, between the crew members, to fix and maintain different stuff.
And what if you have no experience whatsoever with sailing and you want to be on a sailing yacht? Because, of course, that is the least expensive way to get from A to B. What's the fastest way for you to get proficient in sailing?
Easy. Go and do deliveries. Find delivery companies or find delivery skippers. If you look up all these delivery skippers that advertise, you call them and say, "Hey, I want to learn to sail, and I'll pay my own way." Because delivery captains, when they quote to do a delivery, actually quote air tickets for the crew, etc. Generally, the crew don't get paid. Sometimes they have to pay crew, but mostly they don't get paid. But they pay the crew's tickets, and they pay the crew's food. If you tell him you want to learn and you prepare to go along for the ride and you'll pay your air ticket, you can get thousands of miles at sea very quickly, learning from the top guys who do this for a living at a very low cost, in fact.
From my point of view, when I started, I think I've told you before that I didn't know very much. And I was fortunate enough that Stephen is a very good teacher and a patient teacher and helped me through the process. However, not everybody can do that. Not all couples can learn from each other. So I would suggest that you go and do a sailing school that you live aboard for a period of time and learn from people who have done it, who understands the intricacies of it, who understands the dynamics between couples and so forth. And to be honest, you know, when we were doing the sailing schools is probably when I learned the most. Just being there and through osmosis, a lot of this stuff became clear to me.
Even if you've done quite a bit of sailing, it's not a bad thing to go and do a sailing course, because I became a sailing instructor after having sailed the Indian Ocean, the Red Sea, the Med, crossed the Atlantic. I then had to write exams and become a sailing instructor when we were in the Caribbean, and it was very interesting because a lot of the stuff I knew, but I just didn't know it in that format. So once you do a sailing school, there's a lot of validation on knowledge that you actually have. So it's always good to just get that extra validation.
Now, what's the format of these sailing schools? Don't you go out for like a week at a time on a boat and you live on the boat and there's an instructor? And how does that work?
Yeah, you get on a boat, you got to choose your sailing schools. I mean, there's a very good sailing school down here called Blue Water Sailing, and we've done a lot of business with them where they will book you, and you'll go down, and you'll spend a week living on the boat. And your instructor should basically hand everything over to you, and you run the boat. You drive the dinghy when you go ashore. You put up the sails, you take the sails down, you clean, you cook, you do everything. And your instructor is there to supervise you, teach you, and give you a very sound, basic, I call it cruising survival course.
Yeah, if you have good instructors, they're not going to teach you sailing or only sailing. They're going to teach you the lifestyle. And the lifestyle is very different to just hanging out on a boat for a few weeks on vacation. You learn about the things that you have to do without, or the discomforts that you might feel. But it's certainly the good things about the lifestyle totally outweighs the bad things.
Okay. Now, what about special challenges with couples? You know, I've sold a lot of boats to couples who went cruising, and it seems like the women were not quite as gung-ho as the man about this whole thing. But sometimes, many times, this turned around, and the women just fell in love with it. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, we've had that happen several times on sailing schools where the couples would come on board and the guy is, great, we're going to learn to sail, and we're going to sail off in the blue yonder. Well, the ladies come and say, I'm doing this because he wants me to, and don't expect me to like it. Well, by the end of the week, you know, the ladies so enjoy it, and not because we make it a wonderful rosy-colored experience for them, but because we give them the reality, and we give them the tools to cope with the lifestyle. They learn how to handle the boat, even if they don't do it perfectly, but they know what to do in a situation, and they feel confident, and therefore it makes it pleasurable.
Now, I've heard you all talk about some of the parties that you have attended while cruising, and it seems like there's really a lot of very memorable social events. Can you think of one just that you could tell us about?
Well, I think one that stands out in our mind was in Santorini. We were tied up to a very small dock that the Santorini is extremely deep, so there's just one mooring ball that everyone ties off to, and then Med moors, backs onto the dock. This giant swan called Jugra came backing up to the dock, there was a crew. They were New Zealanders. Us being South African, we have some sort of affinity, And I noticed this one little chap, he kind of looked like the crew member. And we were chatting and, you know, doing a thing, and he just wanted to chat. And he was yakking to me while all the crew were working, and I was getting a little bit uncomfortable because I thought that, you know, maybe he was going to get into trouble. Well, it turns out that today is the King of Malaysia, and it was his boat. But we had some very memorable visits on his boat. He had a very good cook and great crew, New Zealanders. And he sailed that boat around the world. It took him, I think, just over 2 years. And Jugra stands for We Sail to Sea. And very memorable, and, you know, always remember that particular encounter.
Yes, I'm sure you've met some very interesting people in your travels. Well, that's about it for today. We're going to be back here same time, same place next week. You've been listening to Yachts, the perfect escape vehicle, only on the Overseas Radio Network.